It's my pleasure to welcome our senior pastor, Pastor, and welcome Mr. Sion Smith. Can you tell a 30-second story? I used to go to another church. That's me, Fitz. I used to go to another church for a long, long time, but my son, most of you know Roger, used to follow Pastor Sion a few places, and he said, "Dad, why don't you come and listen to this guy, Pastor Sion? He preaches very well." Well, I know Pastor Sion, so I was following him a little bit until 2009 I decided to come here. I tell you, Pastor, your word is encouraging. When I listen to your sermon, I'm good for the week. Amen. Welcome.
Thanks, Joseph. Appreciate the encouragement. And thanks to the praise and worship team and for all of you for your faithfulness over the years as we journey together, endeavoring to serve the Lord with hearts of gratitude and thankfulness. It's just really a blessing. If you're happy, you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're really happy, you really know it, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Well, last few weeks I've been going pretty hard on you with the end times, and it's good to know what's going on in the end times, but this morning I'm going to take it a little easy on you. If you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to the Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, and for the sake of context, I think we should read the first 14 verses, but our text is only taken from the 8th and 9th verse. Our text is only taken from the 8th and 9th verse, but it would not do us any harm to read John 14, 1 to 14. Amen? So when you have it, let's read together. John says, okay, just a second, I'm going to NIV lesson. Okay. All right. Let's read together. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him, and I've seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am doing the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. Let's affirm the word of God today. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, expired, authoritative word of God for my life. it slowly.
I will read it prayerfully.
I will read it carefully.
I will abide by its precepts.
I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to put these feeble words together. Inspire and encourage me. Infuse me with strength. But Lord, hide me behind the cross so that your people are not engaged with Sion, but they're engaged with you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would just use me as an instrument this morning to communicate and to encourage your people in your word. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children say, amen. 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 Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball to eyeball. I said to them, neighbor, now listen, if you're sitting beside your significant other, now I want you to go a little deeper. But if you're not sitting beside your significant other, now be careful. I want you to tell them, say, neighbor, if you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. If you don't know me by now, you'll never, never, never know me. Everybody in the house hasn't always been saved and sanctified, because the title of the message is resonating with most of you because you know it to be a song that has been sang by Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, one of the originals, to sing the song. And the song goes on to say, all the things that we have been through, now he's speaking to his lady, all the things that we have been through, you should understand me like I understand you. Now, girl, I know the difference between right and wrong. I ain't gonna do nothing to break up our happy home. Oh, don't get so excited when I come home a little late at night, cause we only act like children when we argue, fuss, and fight. If you don't know me by now, you will never, never know me. No, you won't. We've all got our own funny moods. I've got mine, woman, and you've got yours too. Just trust in me like I trust in you. As long as we have been together, it should be so easy to do. Just get yourself together, or we might as well say goodbye. What good is a love affair when we can't see eye to eye? If you don't know me by now, you will never, never know me. You ever thought that you knew someone well, only to have time pass and you discover that you really don't know them at all? This is going to be good already. You thought that what they showed you in the first 2 or 3 months would stay, but after all, the ladies got this the hands on this. So 3 months seems to be the mark of revelation. After 3 months, something happens. I don't know what it is, but it seems that after 3 months, things go a little south. But in our text, the topic or the theme is very relevant. Philip is asking the Lord to show him the way to the Father. And Jesus says, I've been with you for 3 years. You don't know me? This is where we get our text from. If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. This passage is a very encouraging passage because it's a simple passage. Jesus has been preparing himself to depart, to go to the Father's house, and to be with the Father. And he is telling his disciples that he's about to leave, and they're a little worried, and they're a little bit confused as to what Jesus is talking about. And so he's saying, don't worry that I'm leaving, but I'm not leaving you forever. I'm coming back. Amen? And isn't it nice when somebody leave and come back versus when they leave and don't come back, especially when you don't know that they're leaving and not coming back? Has anybody ever left you when you think they were coming back but they didn't come back? Oh. I mean, you
glad that some people didn't come back. Oh, glory to God.
If you don't know me by now, you will never, never know me. Sometimes, husbands and wives will discover, after years of marriage, that they really don't know each other. Sometimes parents will discover after years of parenting that they don't really know their children. It is true that sometimes we can be deceived by what we think we know. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning?
Amen.
Sometimes we can be deceived by what we think we know. As Christians, we have come to know God, and in so doing, better know ourselves. If we know him and are true to him, then those who strive to know us better will get to know him better. Are you with me?
Yes.
Those who know God have come to trust in him, and that trust makes the difference in the world. Are you in the house?
Yes.
Our text focuses on Jesus as he talks with Philip about the nature of his relationship with God the Father. During the discourse or the course of his ministry with his disciples, Jesus was often frustrated with these fellows in the fact that people were having difficulty accepting the idea that he and the Father are one. They accepted him as a miracle worker. They respected him as a great teacher, but many did not perceive him as being one with God. Philip, who had been exposed to his teaching for the length of his ministry, approximately 3.5 years, had not accepted the oneness between Christ and the Father. The essence of Jesus' discourse to Philip was to scold him or to correct him gently. And I believe that as you listen to me this morning, you will discover that the text will correct you and it will scold you gently, but it will also encourage you. Jesus said, "Philip, you've been acquainted with me for all these years, but yet you still don't know me," is what Jesus is saying. Like Philip, we know much about God, but then again, we know very little about God. We have a great conceptualization that he exists. However, to many people, he's still a mystery. They can't see him, so they're unable to characterize him. To the people of lighter color, he is portrayed as having blonde hair and blue eyes. To the folks with darker skin color, he's portrayed as having dark curly hair. I remember one time I went down to Compton, California, and one of the Black Baptist churches, and Jesus was not a white dude. Jesus was a dark-skinned brother up on the front of the altar. They didn't know Jesus was black as dirt. The Asian folks would want to describe him as having features similar to them. So God has been described as long and as tall and short and stocky, thin, so high that you can't get over him, and so low that you can't get under him, and so wide that you can't get around him. To some people, he still is a mystery. And I believe as we look at the church today, as we are dealing about the issue of the end times, we still see, it seems to me that a lot of people still don't really understand who Jesus is. And I came by to tell you that if you don't know him by now, you'll never know him, because we've got 2,000 years of history. We've got 3.5 years of his ministry. And if you don't know him by now, then something is really wrong. God has presented himself to mankind only in quick flashes and shadowy imagery. God has presented himself as a theophany, and often sometimes as a Christophany, a pre-appearance, if you will, in various forms. I let my mind go back just a little while in the Garden of Eden. He is the voice in the middle of the garden. In the heart of Abraham, he is the director of transportation. In the mind of Joseph, he is a dream narrator. In the eyes of Israel, he is a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In the eyes of Baal, the false worshippers, he is a faucet of fire running down from heaven. In the spirit of Joseph, he is an angel dispatcher to repair a home before it's broken too badly. We are commanded in Scripture to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Do I have any witnesses in the house? Yet, if we are honest, there are parts of us that would much rather to touch and to feel and to have some physical evidence of this God that we serve through Jesus Christ. Would me? I would love to be like Isaiah and view for myself the edges of his royal's regal robe. I would love to feast on leftover man and quail prepared by the directions of God. And at the time of our text, Jesus has already acknowledged that destiny is at work. The betrayer whom is manifested as Judas has been exposed at the table during the celebration of the Passover. The Apostle Peter, whose destiny is being shaped into the will of God, eventually serves as the senior pastor of one of the early churches in Jerusalem, has begun a question and answer period surrounding the events of the Lord's eventual demise and his promise of resurrection. Philip, one who does not have much dialogue assigned to him in Scripture, has decided that since hearing that the Lord is about to leave and return to his throne in glory, since Jesus has spoken of mansions that are being built for us in locations to be received, he has heard that Thomas joined the chorus of caution in asking Jesus about the way. Philip cannot contain himself in our text, and since everyone else is asking questions of Jesus, Philip speaks up on his own personal need for reassurance. Philip's words cut to the chase of the matter. And let me paraphrase it for you. Jesus, I've been sitting here listening to you talk for the last few years. And tonight, you're talking about going away someplace and preparing a place for us. And if you didn't mean it, you should not have said so to us. Jesus, I've never interrupted your train of thought. I've never tried to take over your conversations. But help me out here, Jesus. You talk about your father so much, we believe that he has houses and lands, fine clothes surrounded by jewelry and rubies and diamonds. If you want me to feel you on this thing, Jesus, you have to show me the Father in order for me to believe. If you can just do that, it will be sufficient for me and for the other fellows around us so that we know exactly what's going on. What Philip was actually asking here is he wanted a new revelation. He wanted a new relationship and he wanted reassurance. As we look at the text in the form of what Philip was asking, he was asking a question that most of us today need the same kind of answer. There are many people today that are looking for a new revelation from God. We want something new. There are some of us that are looking for a new relationship with God. And some of us that are looking for reassurance. We've been beat up so badly that sometimes we don't even know which side of the fence we really want to stand on. Is anybody in the house today? Jesus, I love Jesus because he could have answered Philip back with indignation and hostility. But the Lord could have caused Philip to even fall down and die suddenly. But in essence, Jesus says, Philip, you don't really need new revelation. You don't need a new relationship. You don't need new assurance. You've been with me for some time. And if you would just use the information that you have now, it would give you the answer to your question. I came by to tell you today in New Hope that there's a lot of people in the house that are looking for something new. Because in our society, We think that if you got something new, it's the best thing for you. But sometimes the new things aren't always the best things for you. Sometimes you got to go back to what used to work and what worked all along. And so Jesus says, Philip, you don't need something new. You just need to use what you have, what I've given to you over the past 3 years. And so Philip, point number one, you have 3 years of relationship with me. I wish somebody would begin to shout. You have 3.5 years of relationship with me. You know, there's some people that have been walking with the Lord for 50 years, but they've only got 1 day of relationship. But Jesus says, you've got 3 years of relationship with me, Philip. That's good enough. And I came by to tell somebody, you don't need a new revelation. If you just take what you know and begin to put it into practice, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's as simple as that. And so if you and I would begin to take what we have and begin to use it and maximize it to its fullest potential, we can have access and have relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And many of our answers, we will solve the answers to many of our questions. Jesus says, you have been around me for 3.5 years. You've seen me close up and personal witnessing. I've called some of you, Philip, from the fields. I've called some of you from fishing boats. Yes. I've called some of you from professional positions. You have spent 3 years with me, Philip. Yes. You've been watching me for the last 3 years. You've watched me turn water into wine. Yes. You don't need a new relationship. You've watched me halt a funeral procession and raise the dead. You don't need a new relationship, Philip. You've watched me feed 5,000 with 12 baskets left over. Do I have any new witnesses in the house today? You don't need a new relationship. Philip, you've watched me walk on water. You've watched me heal the sick. You've watched me raise the dead. You've watched me open the ears of the deaf. You've watched me cast out demons. You've watched me make a way out of no way. Philip, you've watched me heal a woman with an issue of blood for many, many years. Philip, you don't need a new revelation. You've got 3 years of relationship with me. And if you don't know me by now, you will never know me. I want to come to New Hope and say to you, New Hope, that God has been good to us. We're sitting here today and some of us are saying, well, we don't see the signs and the wonders like they used to flow. People don't pray like they used to. God, we want you to do a new thing today. We want a new awakening. We want a new fire. We need a new anointing. And there's nothing wrong with all of those, but I hear Jesus says to New Hope, you've got 2,000 years of history. If you can't stand on the history, you can't have any destiny. You've got to accept the history. New Hope, we've got 15 years of relationship with Jesus, lifting us up and bailing us out. We don't need a new relationship this morning. We need to stand on what we know. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? Not only do we have 2,000 years of history, but we have 15 years of church history, plus your own personal experience. Yes, am I right about it? Some of you know that God has been good to you. Some of you know that He's brought you a mighty long way. Some of you know that He continues to look beyond your faults and see your needs. Some of you know that you deserve hell, but thank God for grace. Grace, grace, grace. God's grace. God's amazing grace. I've been with the Lord for some time now. Yes, I've seen some dark days, and I've cried some midnight tears. But Ron, I don't need a new relationship. I got a relationship that I can continue to hold on to. I'm glad that not only I've walked with Him, for his walk with me. I'm glad that I'm not seeing the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I know the Lord is able. I see the Lord take care of me when I couldn't take care of myself. I see the Lord heal my body when I was sick. I've left me here to tell. I see the Lord walk with me through the valley of the shadows of death. I see the Lord help me with my bills when my money was low. In order to really know Jesus, you're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. You don't need 50 years. You don't even need 3.5 years. You ought to take the experience of just one day, and that ought to be good enough. Some people don't want to walk with Jesus, but any day without Jesus is a sad day. I want to walk with him early in the morning. I want to walk with him at noonday. I want to walk with him at midnight. I want him to be my leading post, my help and my strength, my getting up and my going down, my going out and my coming in. I wish I had a church this morning who knew how to shout about the relationship that we have with Jesus. Philip, you've asked a good question.
Thank you.
Philip, you've got not only 3 years of relationship with me, but you've got 3 years of revelation. Yeah, you got 3 years of revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God this morning for revelation knowledge. Philip wanted new revelation of the Father. He said to Jesus, Jesus, show us the Father. We're always looking for something new. This is what he was asking Jesus for. But he didn't realize that Jesus is the revelation of the Father. Everything that Jesus did is a revelation of the Father. Everything that Jesus said is a revelation of the Father. His baptism is a revelation of the Father. We see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father spoke by voice, the Holy Spirit by theophany, and the Son by flesh. Philip, you have seen the miracles that only the Father could provide, and that is a revelation. The miracles that he performed were Father empowered, and that is a revelation. The Word that became flesh, that is a revelation. If you need evidence of the Father, you can see how the Father would use the Son to promote growth in his disciples. And Sister Eileen, that is a revelation. Because Jesus took ordinary men and made them into extraordinary men. I remember how bad Peter used to be, but how good he became because of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. That is a revelation. Remember James and John as they became key players in Jesus' ministry. And that is a revelation. Philip, you don't know me by, if you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Following Jesus requires us to see him in the Father. Yes, if all you can see Jesus for is a meal, then you've missed the big picture. If all you can see Jesus for is a heart fixer and a mind regulator, you missed the big picture. If all you can see Jesus for is something to do on Sundays, then you've missed the big picture. If all you can see Jesus for is to get a new boyfriend or a girlfriend, then you've missed the big picture. If all you can see Jesus for is to find a new job, then you've missed the big picture. Philip made an A in following Jesus, but he flunked in seeing God in Christ. And I want you to know today, New Hope, that you don't need a new revelation. The fact that he woke you up in your right mind this Sunday morning, that is a revelation. The fact that you can still read and write, that is a revelation. The fact is that you can still pray your way out of difficult circumstances. That is a revelation. The fact that we can petition the throne room of God, knowing that those who seek him will genuinely find him. That is a revelation. The fact that you can call on God and before the prayers are delivered, the answers already come. That is a revelation. Does anybody have a revelation this morning? I don't know about you, but I've got a revelation. God is still God. He still sits on the throne. And nothing that happens to me is outside of the sure scope of his visibility. He knows everything and he is in all things. That is a revelation. The Bible says that he walks with me. And somebody said he walks with me. And he talks with me. But then I begin to think in my mind, how is it that God can walk with me and at the same time walk and talk with you and walk and talk with somebody at the back? That is a revelation. He's everything to everybody. He's all sufficiency with all power in his hands. That is a revelation. So Jesus says to Philip, you don't need a new revelation, Philip. You've got the evidence of all the things that I didn't see. I am the Father. The Father and I are one. We are one in essence. We are one in character. Everything that I do, it reflects the nature of the Father, Christlikeness, godliness. And so, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I exemplify what the Father is. And I want to say to you, New Hope, we can shout and holler on Philip, but I want you to know when people look at you, they should see Jesus in you, and the same Jesus who is reflective of the Father. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? People ought to see Jesus in you. And every time they see Jesus in you, that is a revelation. When they use the name of the Lord in vain, and you don't get hot and wound up and tell them off, that is a revelation. When they begin to call on God in ungodly ways, and you say, I didn't know you know Jesus like that, that is a revelation. When you can walk away when they've talked about you, that is a revelation. When you can hold your head up high and still smile every Sunday, regardless of what's going on in your life, that is a revelation. Does anybody have a revelation this morning? Philip, you don't need a revelation. You don't even need a new relationship, Philip. I've been with you for 3 years. You should know me. You don't need a new relationship. You don't need a new revelation. Philip, you don't even need to have reassurance. You have 3 years of reassurance. You don't have to worry that if I leave, I'm not going to come back. Some of us have to worry today that if somebody leaves, they might not come back. Some of us are glad if somebody leaves and doesn't come back. But Jesus says, you don't have to worry. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. That's reassurance. Does anybody have reassurance this morning? That Jesus is coming back? Do you have reassurance in the promises of God? That they are yea and amen? Do you have the reassurance that whatever happens to you in this life, that God is not somehow sitting up in heaven punishing you? Amen. Do you have reassurance that your life is in his hands? Yes. And that whatever comes your way, you can stand on his word? Yes. That he's faithful? Yes. Philip said, show us the Father. And that will be enough for us. But you know, if Jesus had showed him the Father, that probably still wouldn't have been enough. Because if people choose to doubt God, no matter how much evidence they have, they will still continue to doubt. No matter how many times he proves himself to them, they will continue to doubt. I don't know what's wrong with folks. Everybody wants to have reassurance that everything will be all right. Nothing wrong with that. Philip, after all this time, you shouldn't have to even think of a question like this. After you've walked with me, felt the Holy Spirit, seen signs and wonders, you should know that everything will be all right. You don't need reassurance, Philip. If you don't know me by now, Philip, then when I leave, I don't think you'll ever know me. After all this time, you should have seen my Father's qualities in more than just me. You should have seen, Philip, the hand of God in every mercy. That's reassurance. You should have heard the voice of God in every decision, Philip. That is reassurance. You should have felt the heart of God in every compassionate act. That is reassurance. You should have seen the eyes of God in every place. That is reassurance. You should have experienced the mind of God in growth. That is, Philip, your reassurance. You should have witnessed the breath of God in the wind of God. That is reassurance. You should have known the intellect of God when the sun rises and sets every day. That is the reassurance. You should have seen the power of God in every one who came to Christ. That is reassurance. You should have felt the arms of God in every act of protection. That is reassurance. Having the reassurance of Jesus for yourself will cause you to know the Father and the Holy Ghost. He is the crowning manifestation of God. Are you with me this morning? In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. New Hope Christian Assembly. After all this time, you should have a lot to praise God for. For all the victories that you have experienced. That's reassurance. For all the years of growth. That is reassurance. For all the pain that he has brought you through. That is reassurance. For all the miracles that you have witnessed time and time again. That is reassurance. For allowing the Son to die on the cross, New Hope, buried and raised him from the dead. That is reassurance that we serve a risen Savior that is in the world today. He lives. He lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. New Hope, I heard Jesus saying today that the same thing that was said to Philip, I've been with you for all of these years, and you still act like you don't know me. Today, I may seem to be an unknown God, but remember something, New Hope. Remember when you failed, and I turned your failures into successes. If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Remember when you were afraid, and I turned your fear into courage. If you don't know me by now, New Hope, you will never know me. Remember when you cried in the middle of the night, all alone, and I was there to comfort you. If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Remember when you were lonely, and I gave you comfort when you're all by yourself. If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Remember when you were sick and could not get well, how he healed your body and he left you here to tell. If you don't know him by now, you will never know him. That is your reassurance. Remember when you felt as though you didn't have a friend in the world, and I became your friend when you were friendless. I became a mother to you when you were motherless. I became a father to you when you were fatherless. And if you don't know me by now, you will never know me. I heard the songwriter say, you got to know Jesus. You got to know God for yourself. If you know Jesus, then you don't need nobody else. We're talking about Jesus, the foundation and the fountain of our joy. Jesus, a shelter in a time of storm. Jesus, a wheel caught up in the middle of another wheel. Jesus, the answer to our prayers. No wonder the old warriors sang, I know the Lord will answer prayers. For I tried him for myself. You have to try Jesus for yourself. Yes, he who died on Calvary, who rose early one Sunday morning. Yes, the one who is and always will be. If you don't know him by now, you will never know him. New Hope, I came by to tell you, you've got to take the experiences of the past, take the relationships of the past, take the reassurance of the past, and stand on them now, so that when the Savior comes back, you can stand in the meantime with full assurance, full relationship, and full revelation. Jesus is a friend in trouble. You can call on him when nobody else is available. You can call on him in the midnight hour, and he will surely answer your call. You can lean on him when your strength is weak. You can call on him for your provision, and help will surely come. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. He's a friend when nobody else wants to hang with you. I'm talking about Jesus who makes a way out of no way. I'm talking about Jesus who is able to do abundantly, exceedingly more than I can think or imagine. I'm talking about Jesus who is my midnight rider. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about Jesus who wipes all the tears away. I'm talking to somebody that makes a nobody into somebody. Do you hear me this morning? I'm talking about Jesus, the friend of the sinners, the forgiver of sins, the one who is able, the one that I can call upon, my leading post. I dare you to call him and watch him do it again. He'll do it again. Won't he do it, church? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? I dare you to call him. Sometimes you gotta call him the first time. He may not answer. You may call him the second time. He may not answer. But I dare you to call him the third time. And watch God bring deliverance. Watch God bring breakthrough. Watch God destroy strongholds.
Philip, if you don't know me by now,
You'll never know me. You'll never know me. You'll never know me. Jesus! Rebels of Sharon, lily of the valley, bright of morning star, evening post, Jesus! Do you know him? Do you really know him? If you know him, then you gotta quit cussing like you cuss. If you really know him, then you gotta stop fornicating like you fornicating. If you really know him, you gotta quit shacking up like you're shacking up. If you really know him, you gotta quit taking them other spirits and asking for his Holy Spirit. If you really know him, you gotta put down the weed. Hello, somebody. I'm gonna mess up somebody's business this morning. You gotta get rid of some meth and crack cocaine. You gotta get rid of unforgiveness if you really know him. You can't know him and dwell on unforgiveness day in and day out. You gotta get rid of that. If you really know him, the mistress or the mister has to go. If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. I'm gonna really get on you now. If you really know him, then you ought to tie it like you really know him. You gotta quit tipping and start tithing. If you say you know him, don't say you know him and make excuses why everything else gets your attention except what belongs to him. But I love Jesus. So we gotta change some things about us.
That's right.
And we're looking for new revelation, but we don't need any more revelation. Trust me and see if I won't return it to you. You don't need new revelation. It's already in the Word. We're looking for new relationship. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. So if we feel that somebody has changed, guess who's moved?
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We've got reassurance that he's coming again. Folks, you don't need to have a degree in theology or understand hermeneutics or soteriology or ecclesiology. You look at our world and you know just logically, we can't continue going the way we're going as a world and not have some catastrophic ending. This can't continue forever without some kind of a difficult ending. This is not going in a good direction. Do we really know him today? Do we really know him? We say we know him, but we show up in church Christmas and Easter. We think we've done our part. Or we give God 2 hours on a Sunday, and that's like a big burden for us. Yeah. But we know Jesus. Come on, I'm gonna poke you where it's gonna hurt. Sorry. Glory to God. If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me. If you don't know me by now, you'll never know me for that. Hey, Eric, would you come and help me sing Bread of Heaven, Feed Me Till I Want No More? Oh, God. If we really know the Lord, we've got to leave all the pain from 1842 that we've been carrying with us, all the bitterness, leave it at the foot of the cross. You can't know Jesus and keep carrying all that baggage with you. Do you know what happens to garbage if you don't take it out? So folks, let's clean up. Let's clean up. It's time to clean up. It's time to clean up. It's time to clean up. You can't have a healthy relationship with your children or your husband or your wife If you're holding on to resentment, to bitterness, unforgiveness, all the pains and hurts, all that sort of thing, there has to be a time when we release that stuff. If we say we know Jesus, we release it. And if you're unwilling to release it, then you really don't know Jesus. Because he will tell you, release it. Let it go. The altars of the church is open for anybody who want to just make things right with God. Folks, we do the world a disservice if we who say that the Spirit of God indwells us are living like they are or worse than they are. There has to be something different about us if we say we know Jesus. Show me the Father, Philip says. Show me the Father. Jesus says, you have the Father amongst you because we have the same stuff. We have the same essence. We are in unison. We are together. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open. Would you avail yourselves at the altar? Do you really, but before you come, ask yourself the question, do I really know Jesus? Do I live as though I know Jesus? But even if you don't know Jesus, it's never too late. It's always a good day to start over.
Yeah.
Change.